Are you wondering if your website is up to date with current practices? Do you worry that maybe you're not getting the biggest bang for your buck when it comes to your SEO? Today, we have a great special guest and you're going to be happy you are here. Jeremy Heiler, the marketing director from PhotoBiz, my personal website, is here to talk about all those things when it comes to making a great photography website. And if you go to the show notes page during or after you listen, you can get a 50% off discount off an annual purchase of a PhotoBiz website. I've been a PhotoBiz website client for, probably 10 years now. And I really appreciate all the hard work they do to make sure that they are on the cutting edge of making sure that my website not only looks great, but also is doing everything that needs to do behind the scenes. So it is talking to Google and so clients can find me. And I'm very happy with their services. So head to the show notes page at focalpointspodcast.com to get your discount. But before you do that, let's listen to the show. This is Focal Points, hosted by Dori Howell and brought to you courtesy of Enphoto. Let's go ahead and get started. Well, welcome back to the Focal Points podcast, everyone. Thank you, Enphoto. I am your host, Dori Howell, and I'm very, very excited today because I am sharing the mic with Jeremy Heiler, who is the creative director at PhotoBiz. Now, PhotoBiz has been my website provider for a really long time. I've been a customer, Jeremy, I don't even know if you would know how long I've been a customer of PhotoBiz, but I love PhotoBiz so much. But Jeremy, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
And can you tell me a little bit about what you do for PhotoBiz, what your role is? And then I have a few questions that I think are going to interest our photography friends as we proceed into this.
Sure. So I've been with the company for 8 years. I am now their creative director. I've been their creative director for 7 years. I started out there as their video director, but they liked all the ideas I was coming up with beyond just video direction. But my main goal is to help curate the message to our clients and to potential customers what PhotoBiz is as a platform. Mm-hmm. Beyond just being a website builder, we have many tools that they can access, such as e-commerce, forms, marketing tools like email marketing, and much more. So the big goal was to promote that, be able to interact with our customers, interact with people that we saw, needed those tools and resources, and just be an advocate really at the end of the day. So I'm interacting with the social media, I'm interacting with clientele, hearing their feedback, and then helping curate better tools and products for them. So a little bit of everything when it comes to the whole creative vision, not just the visual aspects, but like just the internal aspects as well, how the tools are performing and how our support team interacts with people.
Yeah, that's great. You guys have your fingers in a lot of different pies. And when I first started with PhotoBiz, it really was just pretty much the website platform. And then all of a sudden I start getting emails. Well, now we were going to add this and we're adding this and we're adding this and we're adding this. And everything that I use has been really great. And as far as my website is concerned, so people know my experience with PhotoBiz and how I'm speaking as a client, not only a friend of the company, but as a client, I have my website. I pay for a few upgrades. I pay for their branding to not be on my website, so people mm-hmm. don't know who makes my website. I also pay for their SEO services. And I started doing that last year and it just renewed again for this year. And I have a designated rep that I get emails from every month that they share with me things I can do to improve my website, SEO, and that type of thing. But I have one question for you, Jeremy, which I think is going to be pretty easy for you to answer because you see a lot of photographers' websites, not only those designed by you all, but I'm sure you study other website builders as well. But in your opinion, what makes a really great photography website? Like what really works? What do people need to do to make their website something that prospective clients want to stay on mm-hmm. and some of the features that they're looking for in their website? What should we be doing?
Sure. I think years ago, it was just about having a portfolio, but mm-hmm. a lot of things have changed. SEO has really changed how the game is and how algorithms work in general. But having, a very perfect vision of your website is like, especially for your homepage, immediately I should drop in. It should feel like a brochure, a little bit of everything. I get a taste of like, who you are as a photographer, where you're located at, and the visual aspects are kind of paired with that. If you're a senior photographer, I want to see that senior photography. I've seen some people put so many layers of photography on it and then get halfway down it and you're like, oh, this is for wedding. I didn't realize they were a wedding photographer because there's senior photography featured throughout of it or newborn photography. So having a clear message directly on a homepage is a key mm-hmm. factor these days. And just that, you know, the visual motifs, making sure that it's branded well, the colors make sense. I've seen some websites where it looks like a school bus yellow at the top. And then, you know, throughout, all of a sudden, there's like all of a sudden another hue of green is always splashed on it. And you're like, wait a minute, there's no cohesiveness. So mm-hmm. having that consistent brand has become huge. I think we're all so adapted to being online more frequently than ever. And now we're conditioned to be like, okay, you know, kind of like how Apple brands everything or, mm-hmm. you know, any other brand that you really gravitate to. You know, this influencer economy has made that so vivid for us that you got to make sure you're looking consistent. So yeah. When you look at a website, it should tell the story of who your business is right away and have clarity of that.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. You know, and it's kind of the same when I'm dealing with my coaching clients and I look at their social media and I see what they're posting on their social media is all these editing reels and editing videos and all that type of thing. And I ask them, I said, do you want editing clients or do you want photography clients?
Yeah. Correct. Right? And I see that happen too. Like I'll see some people get caught up in the SEO game mm-hmm. where it's like you've really trying to optimize for someone. Right. Maybe it's right. Google. You're really trying to get Google to be interested in you versus a client.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So there are subtleties when it comes to what we put on our websites. Now, can mm-hmm. you maybe share with me some outdated ideas that people might still be using on their websites that maybe they need to take those off their websites, they need to modify? Because I can tell usually when I go to someone's website and I can tell how old it is, just for example, by the age of the headshot that they're using on there.
Agreed. Yeah, photography changes.
that they have really bad photographer headshots. But I'm sure there's other things that you as a professional can spot a mile away that like they haven't updated this for a while or they're using an antiquated platform or that type of thing. Are there any tips on that?
Sure. I mean, right away, let's jump into your visual aspect that you're talking about with photography. People can tell when these are old photos. Mm-hmm. When I see an old headshot of someone, like I saw recently a customer was like, hey, why doesn't my website look up to date or look visually stunning? I'm like, well, the headshot you have on your about page looks like it was shot in 1995. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, the lighting consistency, the look, it was shot on film and then probably scanned through a scanner. That all makes things look more antiquated, like you said, mm-hmm. right? So when I look at someone that shot maybe some photos in 2013, and then when I see that in a website in 2022, it feels dated immediately because mm-hmm. fashion changes, style of photography changes, lighting techniques changes, tools change, the mm-hmm. type of camera you used nearly 15, 10 years ago completely has changed, right? So the quality just feels antiquated. It's like when you look at a picture and you're like, when was this? Was this like 5 years ago? And then you're mm-hmm. like, no, that was actually much further away. You know, like, oh, yeah. I thought this photo was 20 years old. No, that's 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
So those are some things you immediately can tell on a website when it feels, you know, that antiquated feel. Right. Some other things that I'll notice is SEO related. Some people still like to do things that were, you know, commonplace 20 years ago, like putting every single city or location, county, you name it, that they want to be found for. Mm-hmm. But Google has become so smart, a scary smart in a way, but it's like they want to become more human, right? So mm-hmm. it's looking for more organic speak. So mm-hmm. when I see someone put something in that feels like a directory, Google knows that. And then they start, I guess you could say, docking points mm-hmm. away from your website when it knows it's being trying to be fooled. Because right. it doesn't want to read Google type directories. It is Google already. It wants to feel more organic and more human. So it wants to read that on the page itself.
Right. And I have a feeling, you know, since Google owns Google Maps, that if I put, you know, Washington, D.C. or Northern Virginia branding photographer on my website, they probably know that that includes Vienna, Fairfax, Arlington, Alexandria, like, and surrounding areas. Am I correct in assuming that I don't need to spell it out for Google when they literally created the map?
Correct. It's getting so much smarter. So, like, it knows when you're trying to say Alexandria, Virginia, or something like that. It's like, okay, And then it probably has a built-in, we probably don't know all the full details, but it's probably got a radius built in there saying mm-hmm. like, okay, up to 20 miles or 50 miles, I'm going to make this place for someone. Because the most common people will probably search for photographers near me, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then that right there is already pinpointing where that person's computer or phone is at that moment when they type that in. And letting them know within a 20 to 50 mile radius of like photographers near, you know, photographers near them. Right. So it's picking up on those details already.
Right. So, I mean, here's the same thing. If you think Google and all these places, if they spy on you by and track you by where you're searching and all that kind of stuff, the same technology, you can kind of reverse think it into thinking it can benefit your website. And so you have to be thinking a little bit more strategically when it comes to the tools that they have in place to get your website seen. So correct. We talked about old headshots, and I've called photographers out on this for a long, 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 long time. You have to update your headshots, and you should probably hire someone to do it. And that's a total another conversation. The selfie, like you can't see me right now, but quote unquote selfie photographer headshots, I think there's something to say, total side note, for when you are trying to advertise your business. If you are asking people to hire you for an image or for a family session or that type of thing, that you would have done the same thing and invested in your business in that way. So headshots are a big deal with me. But you mentioned location. And I think there was a really old, I want to say like 10, 15 years ago, an idea that if you put a location on your website, then people wouldn't hire you to travel places. And so I still, to this day, go to a lot of Instagram accounts. I'll look at them, or I'll go to different websites out in the area, and there will not be a location of where that photographer is located. How does that read as far as a website is concerned? I know how it feels to me as a consumer when I'm looking for something and I don't see a location. But obviously, if you don't put a location on your website, you're also not attracting that SEO that we were just talking correct. About.
So correct. Like when you see that, even for me as a consumer, I immediately think, oh, this person must not be near me. Mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. like now I'm having to do some my own research. So now you're asking them to now go off your website to find out details. Are you located near them or not? For me, for someone who wants to be able to say, hey, look, I work in Greensboro, but I'm willing to travel to your mm-hmm. destination. Mm-hmm. Put that in there. Write that organic text in there. Put that in like anything that you write to anyone. I mean, just get that context. Yes, you might filter out hundreds of people that might be interested in you, but now you're getting a whole new group of people who now know that you are located near them, an mm-hmm. opportunity to actually interact with you. Because if I don't know where you're located at, I'm immediately turned off.
Right. I mean, that drives me crazy.
Yeah. It's like, oh, well, I found out this photographer's in California. Well, that's not going to do me good because I'm not going to go buy a ticket or get them a ticket. I'd rather find someone local. Right. And support them at that point. So if you are like someone that does destination weddings and stuff like that, obviously you could say where you're located at. You're based in North Carolina or Florida, Virginia. Say where you're located at, but then talk about the stipulations. You're willing to travel to destinations.
And here's the thing, is that people who are looking to invest in a really, really great photographer and fly them anywhere for the work that they're going to do, none of that's going to bother them. They're going to ask anyway, do you fly? Can you travel? Could we arrange something so you come with me to my wedding? Those types of things, the people who are looking for that mm-hmm. know to ask. Yeah. They're not just going to be like, oh, well, she just put a location on her website, so I guess she doesn't ever travel anywhere, so she's not going to go. No, if they want you, they're going to ask you because they're used to that. So it's a totally different mindset of putting yourself in your client's shoes of if people are willing to invest in that, then of course, and they love your images, of course, they're going to ask. They're probably not going to assume, oh, she only put Greensboro on a website, so that means she only shoots within Greensboro city limits, so she can't come to Bermuda with us. Hello, I'll come to Bermuda. I just need to ask.
Yeah, exactly. If anytime. Someone offered you, Dori, to fly to Fiji for a destination wedding, you're there.
Yeah, I'm there. Even though I don't shoot weddings, I will very, very quickly up those skills, practice in full sun. I will travel to the beach to get those blue bar. I'm there. 100%.
I'd be like, listen, I don't even shoot photos anymore, but I'm coming. I'm coming there because it sounds great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just did a whole bunch of branding sessions in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. What's that got to do with anything? Yeah. Well, I got clients there, so I went to Milwaukee and I did a bunch while I was there. Yeah. You know, you just need to ask. And because I'm on the other side of that, I've gotten used to asking people maybe what isn't specifically on their website. Well, can you consider this? Could you do this? And sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no. But my point to all this is, like, if people want you, they will ask you. So you just need to go from there. I can't say it enough. PhotoBiz is a great company, and I'm so happy that I've partnered with them for my website. And because they're so awesome, they have given listeners of this podcast a great code that they can use to get a wonderful discount off their website services. If you need to revamp your website, start a new website, change your website over to a platform that's super easy to use with great, great customer service, you really need to be using PhotoBiz. Go ahead, head over to photobiz.com, and when you check out, use the coupon code DORIE22. That's DORIE, the number two, the number two. So DORIE22 for a really awesome discount on their fabulous services. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. Go check them out. Really, photobiz.com. Use the code DORIE22. So since we're talking about SEO and Google and locations and all those types of things, what are some of the things that people need to be doing on their website to make Google happy so that they show up in search results?
Okay, so some things you can do immediately to your website to help optimize you for search. So again, when we're talking about, and I'll go through different types of pages. So for homepage, again, make it feel like a brochure. You need to make the text skimmable, but you also want to get it indexed. You know, Google's looking for stuff between 200 to 350 words. So when you're doing your homepage, make sure people know who you are, the who, what, when, where, why about you. You know, we want to know, you know, who you are, where you're located at, and what type of photography you specialize in. And if you do multiple layers of different types of photography, at least make sure that the one that you really want to be found for is in that top text piece of it. You know, if you're a senior photographer or branding photographer, make sure that is a part of the core conversation. You can mention that you do other types of photography layered down in that page, but we want to make sure that we're hitting the main target of who you're trying to hit. And again, for a homepage, that next piece is going to add call to actions to where you want to go next. You don't want to have any dead ends on any page that you create, because now you're asking the person, the user, to figure out where you want them to go next. If you have call to actions layered throughout your homepage that says, click here to view a gallery, click here to learn more about my investment opportunities, click here to learn more about me. Those are things that are going to drive people to say, okay, maybe I am interested in learning more about, you know, X, Y, and Z. Those are things that are going to help drive them to the direction you want to and deeper into your sales funnel. Because at the end of the day, you're trying to get them to contact you, not just book with you. Right. So next, for an about page, I like to call this the speed dating page. Because this is where we learn more details about you. Hopefully you have that up-to-date headshot in there as well. Because this is might be the first time someone's meeting you that hasn't been referred to you or someone you know, right?
Right, right.
If you're trying to connect with someone via Google and this is the first time they are meeting you, this page is vital. And it's one of the most searched pages. So we call this a core page. So make sure you have those details. Make sure you mention accolades, a little bit of history about you, how long you've been doing it. I know some photographers get really up in arms about mentioning if they've been working in the industry longer than 10 years. Some reason they feel like that's a negative. It can be a negative if you're not staying up to date and trying to keep with trends and making new content. Yeah, having a photographer that works for 30 plus years and your stuff still looks like 30 years ago, yeah, that can be an off-putting thing to customers. Yeah, but again, if you're making those updates, like we're mentioning, and saying like, hey, someone who's been shooting for 30 years and their quality is still this great, of course, people are going to be like, yeah, I want that person. So making sure those are there on that page. Don't be afraid to mention that type of stuff. And then for pages like your portfolio pages, making sure there's not just pictures on there. I think, you know, a big thing is I'm just going to dump all my pictures on this page and then just leave it as is. No, we want to know a little bit more detail, especially if you have multiple types of galleries. You know, make it, you know, make each page targeted. So someone might fall to that page on Google first versus your homepage. So put some details. If you're a senior photographer, talk about what you do for your senior photography sessions. Mention that on there and talk about like what makes you a trendsetter, basically. What makes you different? You know, if you have 10 photographers doing seniors in your area, what makes you the reason why they should pick for you versus anyone else. Put those things there, and then on a page, give an opportunity to either push them over to another page or a form. You know, make that page feel targeted, like its own existing landing page. Okay. And then for the other core page that we mentioned is our contact page, obviously. The contact page is vital, and you'll be surprised how many people I see hide that page. I don't understand why people would hide that page, or they often replace it with a book now page. A book now page is great to have as an addition to a contact page, because a book now page could be off-putting to someone who just wants to ask a question.
Right, right.
You know, people might not be ready to immediately book with you. But they want to ask questions about where you might be located at if you don't have that detail on there. What you might be willing to do. Maybe you want to travel. Or maybe you just have questions about, like, hey, you're a newborn photographer. I don't know anything about, like, photos with a newborn baby. How do you even prepare for something like that? Mm-hmm. That's a great way to go ahead and get introduced to that customer, that possible customer, and then going from there. So having that as a core page is incredible.
Well, that's something I need to change. I'm looking at my website as you're going through all these little things right here, and I'm like, okay, so my contact me page just goes straight to my inquiry form. So let me just write a note to myself right now that I should probably redo that. All right. You caught me. You've actually caught me on a few things, because most of my buttons on my page, like ready to get started or that type of thing, go to just that inquiry form. But having you say this, that maybe this is not so much about me just getting inquiries in, but me starting a conversation and leading them into different areas, because you're right. Not everyone who looks at my homepage is going to be, oh yeah, I want to book her. It's like, No, do you want to see more images? Go here. Do you have a question? Go here. Like, You can have that conversation in many different ways besides just the book me conversation.
Correct. And I think a lot of people get caught up in that. It's like, Okay, I have my visual, I have my look. They obviously are going to be intrigued by that. Now just book with me. Mm-hmm. But not everyone's ready for that yet.
Right.
But if you tell the story, unpeel the layers of who your business is, why, and make it attractive enough, that's what makes me think you're investable at that point. You know,
right.
I'm seeing a customer like tell me like, wow, she's been had a passion of photography for, you know, since she was in high school. She's been shooting since then. She got her first camera, at a certain age. I start to see myself in mm-hmm. that place. And then I'm like, okay, I trust this person. And then I see the quality of work. Now I'm ready to contact them and ask questions. Mm-hmm. And if you're lucky, you'll have that person that's like, I'm ready to book with you.
Right. Yeah. That's a really good point. So, you know, I have completely, I think I mentioned this earlier, redone my website recently, and it's still definitely a work in progress. I don't have it exactly the way that I want it. I appreciate photographers who go through this rebranding, redefining their niche idea, because doing your website is such a big deal, and it takes a lot of time. And I've been working on mine now for about a month. And every time I go in, and like Jeremy also did, he writes a lot of the blogs for Photo Biz and that type of thing. So I'll go in and I'll look at those resources, and I need to make sure I do this, make sure I include those testimonials, make sure I have this and this and this and this. And it's sometimes I think people think that your website, once you can set it and forget it.
Yeah.
But that isn't, I did that for a really, really long time, and I had no SEO. I wasn't getting any inquiries or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I'm working on that myself with the help of all your helpful people over at PhotoBiz. One other question I have for you is, how important is a blog?
Okay. So I was going to mention that just now, like when you mentioned sitting and forgetting it, you can have your website's core look and design for a while, but you should refresh the photos and things like that often. But one thing that I think is critical for a website and that creates more pages for your website without creating pages is having a blog. And these blogs are great because it's basically being thrown out to Google. And it's something that you can reshare or share on social media and get people driven over to your website. So a blog is critical for me because it's so many things. I describe a website, as kind of like fishing, right? If it's in the ocean, you have your fishing rods, each page is a rod, right? So if I see a single, some people for a while was really hot on single page websites.
Yes.
But that's only one page in existence and billions of websites on Earth. You're only having one chance for being seen on Google versus having, 10 or 15 pages that are more visible. And then a blog, if you're constantly blogging like twice a month, that's content. You know, within two, you know, if you do it for year, 1 year, that's 24 new pages to your website. Mm-hmm. So think about you constantly adding that content. And this is stuff that you can share on social media. Granted, you might be like, hey, not many people clicked on it, but share it again in a month. Mm-hmm. Share it again in 2 months, 4 months. Right. The thing about blog content is it's reshareable, and it's, you know, someone that might have not seen it on Facebook because everything's so instantaneous these days.
Sure.
It's kind of like Twitter. You put something out on Twitter, it's gone in seconds.
Yeah, that's why I'm not a Twitter person, but it's like one of those things where like, why are you worried so much about what you're putting out there? Only half your people are going to see it, if that. And it's going to be gone in 15 minutes. Unless it gains some traction, but really. So, and I also think like you make up a good point with the blog. It's like, you know, share it again. So many of us with our content strategy as a whole just think that we can share things one time. But if you have a great blog post about, I know, how to prep for a great wedding day, or you have a really great session that you're really proud of, share it every quarter until it's a little stale or something. I notice it with people I've been following for a really long time. I'm starting to notice that there's a pattern of reusing and refreshing or reusing content over and over. So many of these things, it's not necessarily just a set it and forget it type of thing. You can take that blog post and repost it 4 times in the next year and it's going to be fine.
Absolutely.
And you can use it different ways in your other social media. So a blog, even though I resisted that for a really long time, Jeremy, I'm going to be honest, I didn't really want to do a blog. But Tabari on your team, literally every month for this SEO program that I'm in with you guys, like his number one suggestion every month is like, start a blog, Dory. Start a blog. So I did it. I did it yesterday.
All right. You did it. See? And I know it's a lot, and especially for photographers and especially for people, you know, writing can be time consuming and stuff like that.
What I've done is just a total sign-up. I've been very deliberate about getting testimonials from my clients on my Google side. Once I get a testimonial for them, it's usually a few sentences, and that takes up a lot of the content. And then because I'm dealing with business owners, I'm also putting in there where I'm promoting their businesses of where they can find those people and what they do. So by doing it that way, the blog content itself and the words have become very become very easy versus the old way I used to do it. I used to try and tell a story about the pictures, you know, they were family pictures. That was difficult, but now I kind of have an idea of how I want to move forward and how I can incorporate a lot of other things into these blog posts that get them some links, get them some attention, because clients love that. Mm-hmm. But also I'm using their words to talk about the session. I'm not having to create them.
Correct. And I actually have a blog post that we recently did in the last couple of months. You might have seen it, but for other people who are listening, there's one on our blog.photobiz.com called 7 Topics Photographers Can Use to Help Blog for SEO. And I'll just give you the top tier of what those are. You know, one you could do is share tips for successful photography sessions. And that can be stuff like what to wear for a great family portrait, what to expect during an own location photography session, what to expect for a photography studio session, how to prepare for your wedding day photography, like you mentioned. Other ones could be focused on your upcoming seasonal sessions. So that could be focused on planning for your Santa experience with X, your business name. You know, colorful and bright winter sessions that you'll melt for, fun in the sun beach portraits with X business name. And then for like other ones, you could do featured customer experiences. This can go deeper into creating and preserving memories for your family, stunning wedding location at X location captured by X business, 5 portrait experience with this business name. Mm-hmm. And then you could do before and after posts. You know, people love seeing that. I mean, that's a huge trigger, especially not just for photographers, but for any business that can show a before and after. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sells you right there. So how to elevate your senior portraits before and after. Check out these photo restorations by X business name. And then for featured products, you know, products that you sell through your business. Keepsakes that you'll cherish for years to come. Your business name. Choosing the best photo frame for your home. And then other ones you can focus on is information about your studio. So you could talk about giving a tour of your studio, behind the scenes. What's it like shooting with your business name?
Mm-hmm. And there's then so, another. There's so many.
Yeah.
So many. Okay. Jeremy could go on forever and ever. Sure. What I'll do is I will find that blog post and I will link it in our show notes page so that people can find it easily, because your blog on the PhotoBiz side is so comprehensive. There are so many great things about SEO and blogging and website design and everything. It's like you can't exhaust the the information that's there. So I'll post to that in the show notes and just our normal podcast show notes page, blog.nphoto.com/podcast. You'll find everything there and you'll be able to see, get a lot of helpful tips for your website, which I think is so, so key.
Yeah.
My last question for you is, so we've talked a little bit about what makes for good SEO and what feeds the Google machine and that type of thing. So you guys released an article this week, which I was reading over earlier, that said there's some things that just don't matter when it comes to SEO. And a lot of times we get really caught up in some of those things. But would you be able to share a few things that maybe people think are a really, really big deal when it comes to SEO, but just don't aren't at all?
So I think, you know, especially in the last few years, it comes in waves, right? So mm-hmm. you'll hear something that was really hot like maybe 10 years ago, and then they want to focus on it still to this day, or they hear something about it and they get really caught up in it. But Google's algorithm is so smart these days that things that people prioritize are starting to become less priority, or mm-hmm. the user is using it incorrectly.
Okay.
So things that still matter, you know, having good titles for your page, having good metadata and keywords, but now it's about having less of it. So you'll see, like, we'll put like optimization levels of what they're looking for. There's a character limit for titles and meta descriptions, mm-hmm. but there's also a limit of how many keywords they want. You used to have people stuff and, you know, call it keyword stuffing
right.
on the page itself, but even in the back end, people would start putting more, you know, hundreds of keywords. And that's not something Google wants anymore. They want you to really pick up to 15, really.
Right. So it's kind of like the Instagram thing where Instagram used to say you have to do 30 hashtags of every post, which was like the bane of my existence because I could never come up with more than 16 or 8 or something. And now they're saying, no, we don't want all those hashtags. We want like 7 or 8 really distinct ones, like that are really specific to what you're talking about. So it sounds like mm-hmm. Instagram probably got that idea from algorithm changes over at Google. Is that safe to say?
I'm going to say yes, because they all kind of feed off one another, right? So they're seeing like, okay, now Instagram's like, we've existed for 15 years now. Instead of making it about these hashtag levels, now it's becoming more influence-based. But they're also saying like, okay, maybe you don't need to use 30. How about you use 10 or now right. 5? I think right. I even heard like 5 at most. They're getting to that level of like, we don't even want you to really use hashtags anymore, but we know people will.
Right.
Here's what we think will be, you know, scalable for them. Same thing for Google. You know, I think their algorithm is like, okay, enough is enough. You know, mm-hmm. we don't need 100 locations that you will serve. Just give us your best 5 or something like that.
We can figure this out. We know where you want to be. Like we have enough information on you. Like we got this. Don't worry about stuffing your website with a whole bunch of keywords. And that's really honestly how I feel like it is. It's like their computers and their algorithms and everything have spent so many years gathering so much information. It's like, it's almost like they're like saying, we don't really need you anymore. We know where you want to be seen. You can give us a few hints along the way, but we got this.
Like, yeah.
And it makes our life easier, to be honest with you, because we don't have to sit there, you know, doing the hashtags and the metadata and keyword stuffing and everything used to cause people a lot of turmoil, you know, of like, okay, they want these keywords, but I can't use this keyword so many times. And how many different ways can I really, you know, keyword my location without it just duplicating over and over and over? And we really just don't have to worry about that anymore, which is great.
Correct.
I think it's wonderful.
Another thing that I think people don't think about is backlinks. Mm-hmm. And backlinks are kind of like being able to like almost like affiliations, right? So like say like when this video, this podcast drops, mm-hmm. What I could do is create an article about it and share it back to your website. Mm-hmm. And then if you were to share a link from that back to mine, we're creating links for one another and we give credible source to one another. Mm-hmm. So that's something that Google sees value in, especially when it comes from legitimate sources. So obviously like ex photographer who gets somehow their photo seen in Time magazine, obviously you're going to love that publication because you're going to have it in Time magazine
sure.
and it legitimizes you. And
who doesn't want that?
Right? Who doesn't want that? So, you know, great. Yeah, you got social media and those links. But when it comes back to like real website sources, so if something's on our blog and we link back to someone else's website, Google's going to give that more creative, you know, I'll say like just more oomph to it. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, this is a credible source linking to one another. obviously you don't want to be on a website that is considered like a lower stature, because that can actually hurt your business. Sure. So you need to look at like trying to get with credible sources. So, you know, when you're looking at places like Chamber of Commerce and stuff like that, those are legitimate sources. Mm-hmm. So if you're able to get your website linked into those sections and then back to your website, it's just going to give you more, you know, credibility, which Google likes. But it's also the more people that click through it, you know, especially like even in your own blog posts, the longer people are coming over there and the more engaged they are with your page itself, it's going to give great emphasis to make you rise in the ranks for Google.
Yeah, I love that so much. Well, I'm going to stop us now because Jeremy and I could talk about this stuff all day long, but he's probably got someplace to go. I have to, you know, I have to scoot out. But PhotoBiz is an incredible, incredible website platform. I've been a customer of theirs, I think, for almost 10 years now, and my website has changed and evolved and grown. And I cannot say enough about their customer service department at all. And all my friends who use PhotoBiz say the same thing. So I want to thank Jeremy so much for your time. But Jeremy, just in case people don't know how to find PhotoBiz, can you let us know where we can find you?
Sure. You can find us at photobiz.com. That's our official website. Mm-hmm. You'll learn about the tools that we have available right on our website right there. If you're looking to get a website, we'd love to have you, obviously. But the biggest thing that we have is not just, you know, a website itself, but you get the blogging tool, proofing tools if you're going to sell anything directly online, e-commerce, you can build your own custom store if you want, forms, so you can create your own forms on your website, but also digital contracts and take payments through it. Scheduling, if you need to schedule anything through it, and then you can send up to 10,000 free emails a month through our marketing tool, and hosting and security is all built into one package. And the biggest caveat, in, again, as Dory mentioned, was we have a support team that you can call or live chat anytime. And
yeah, we're they're great. They're great. Yeah, PhotoBiz has really turned into a very powerful tool to help people run their business. And I encourage everyone to check them out. So Jeremy, thank you so much for your time today. I really do appreciate it very, very much. And everybody else, thank you for listening to the Focal Points podcast by Enphoto. I'm your host, Dory Howell, and we will see you next time. I always love my conversations with Jeremy. We've been able to be guests on each other's podcasts and programs for a couple years now, and I always love the fact that he is so up to date with current trends and practices when it comes to websites and photographers. Remember what I mentioned at the introduction of the show, that if you want to check out PhotoBiz, you can get a 50% discount on a full annual package, and you want all the details, go ahead and hit our show notes page at focalpointspodcast.com. Thank you to Enphoto for sponsoring this program, and we will see you next time.